As late as August 14th, 2003, he was in the studio working on two songs, a humorous one called Asthma Coming Down Like the 309, and a song called 1 Corinthians 15:55 about death, based on the verse, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" And the following week, on August 21st, he recorded his last song. It was at the Cash Cabin Studio, with John Carter Cash producing. The song was called Engine 143, a story song about an engineer running to get to the station on time. He crashes the train and dies. The song ends with the words, and the very last words poor Georgie said were, "Nearer, my God, to thee." This final song in his legendary catalog was for an album called Unbroken Circle, the musical heritage of the Carter family. 3 days later, his emergency trip to the hospital with peritonitis prohibited him from attending the MTV Awards in New York. Up for 6 category awards, the video of Hurt ultimately only won the award for cinematography. He was released on Tuesday, September 9th, and was already making plans to fly to Los Angeles to do more work in Rick Rubin's studio. On Thursday, September 11th, he was taken ill again, this time with respiratory problems brought on by an asthma attack and complicated by his reflux condition. His lungs, which had very little healthy tissue left, began to fail. He was coughing up blood and was in a state of delirium when the ambulance came. "When I got to the hospital, he was conscious," says Roseanne. "He wasn't eyes open and sitting up conscious, but he squeezed my hand. He had come back from death so many times that, as bad as it looked, we were still hoping that he would recover." It wasn't to be. At 2 a.m. the next morning, John R. Cash died. The only people with him were John Carter, Roseanne, and Kathy. Courtney Wilson, his former pastor at First Baptist Church in Hendersonville, who had visited him during his previous stay, observed that though Cash hadn't lost the will to live, he was calm in the face of death. "There was no one else in the room," he says. "We just spent a little time together because I knew he wasn't feeling good. And after we had prayed, we shook hands and it was like two old friends saying goodbye. I might even have had a tear in my eye. I think he was at peace. Well, I know he was. He was really ready to go home to be with God." The private funeral took place at First Baptist Church on Monday. It featured some of the same artists who had performed at June's funeral, Emmylou Harris and Sheryl Crow sang The Old Rugged Cross and Bob Dylan's Every Grain of Sand. Franklin Graham, representing his father Billy, spoke and said that Cash was a good man who also struggled with many challenges in his life. Kris Kristofferson offered what was perhaps the most memorable description when he referred to Cash as Abraham Lincoln with a wild side. Larry Gatlin, Marty Stewart, and Randy Scruggs were among the pallbearers of Cash's black coffin with silver handles. Cash was laid to rest next to June. Close by were the graves of Mother Maybelle, Ezra, and Anita. On his grave marker, beneath his name and the dates of his birth and death, was Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Then followed the familiar flourish of his signature. Obituaries teemed with praise for the man universally regarded as a great artist, a great humanitarian, and a great American. The New York Times said, "His gravelly bass baritone was the vocal bedrock of American country music for more than 4 decades. To the Village Voice, he was the most important country artist of the modern era. Robert Hilburn of the Los Angeles Times called him a standard of integrity and craft that not only helped reshape country music, but also served as a standard for any artist of merit in all pop music. People from Bono to Dylan to Springsteen admired this man and his work. In Britain, The Guardian described him as a country musician who was too big for country music, and his work as artist, humanitarian, and patron of songs and songwriting will endure indefinitely. The Independent saw him as one of the last great icons of American country music. Time Out said, "If America as a nation could speak, it would sound something like Johnny Cash. His voice was America's voice, just as America's voice was his." The next weeks and months brought a steady stream of tributes, television and radio documentaries, special newspaper sections, prepared statements by everyone from President George W. Bush to Bob Dylan, Cash's image graced the cover of Time magazine, and in November a televised tribute aired from the Ryman Auditorium, featuring most of his close friends and members of his family. Actor Tim Robbins hosted the show, which included taped appearances from Bono, Billy Graham, Whoopi Goldberg, Dan Rather, and Ray Charles. Particularly moving was a montage of photographs of Cash playing with his children and grandchildren, over which was played the last recording he made with Roseanne, a song called September When It Comes. So when the shadows link them and burn away the clouds, they will fly me like an angel to a place where I can rest. When this begins, I'll let you know September when it comes. 6 weeks after Cash's death, his stepdaughter Rosie was discovered dead in a parked tour bus alongside a bluegrass fiddle player, Jimmy Campbell. She was 45 years old. Though emergency medical workers found drug paraphernalia on the bus, authorities attributed her death to carbon monoxide poisoning. Hers was the fourth death in the family in 7 months. The family began to refer to this dark period as a season of grief. In November 2003, as planned, the first copies of the lavish box set that Cash had approved before his death made their way into the market. Unearthed consisted of 77 songs spread over 5 CDs. Presented with the set was a beautiful book written by Sylvie Simmons that told the backstory of the recordings and included a song-by-song explanation by Cash. All of the songs had been recorded during his decade-long relationship with Rick Rubin. Besides the 15 tracks on The Best of Cash on American CD, none had ever been officially released. The songs ranged from simple acoustic renditions of hymns his mother had taught him as a child to covers of songs by Bob Marley, Neil Young, and Steve Earle. Guests on the album included Joe Strummer, formerly of The Clash, Nick Cave, Tom Petty, and Carl Perkins. Though some critics thought Rubin had squeezed every last drop of creativity out of Cash and that the recordings lacked consistency, Unearthed, for the most part, received an enthusiastic welcome. Reviewing the collection for the music magazine Mojo, Matt Snow raved, "For those of us who hold that music is the noblest expression of what it is to be human, here is the final installment of a body of work that, almost uniquely, transcends the legend." Steve Volk of Philadelphia Weekly wrote, "Cash was a real flesh-and-blood man who took on the staggering proportions of myth. The image Unearthed leaves us with is something far humbler, yet no less grand. A sharecropper who dug down into the earth, discovered himself, and discovered us." In his final decade, Cash had not only produced some of his best work, but he had done some of his best living. Closer than ever to June, he had healed many of his broken relationships and had, by all accounts, become more loving, caring, and forgiving. He had faced death neither with resignation nor with anger, but with cheerful fortitude. "I don't understand death," he told Larry Gatlin, "but I'm not afraid of it." In the end, Johnny Cash achieved his aim of living a life that exemplified the power of redemption. He fought the good fight. He ran the race. He kept the faith. "You could look at the last days of his life and say that he died a sad, miserable soul," says John Carter. "However, that's not the full picture. Yes, he was sad. Yes, he was alone. But he had purpose, he had belief, and he had a peace in spite of himself that God granted him. I think that is what the grace was in his life, and that is where the redemption lay. Even though there was great pain, he didn't live in misery. He was able to keep pressing on."